G'day, and welcome to a special edition of Follow the Money. I'm Ebony Bennett, Deputy Director at the Australia Institute. And over the last few days, you probably will have seen lots of headlines about Adani's Carmichael coal mine in the Galilee Basin. And we just wanted to respond quickly for our listeners. So this will be a mini episode of Follow the Money. We're calling it Pocket Money. It's just a discussion between me, our Chief Economist Richard Dennis, and Research Director Rod Campbell, without the usual bells and whistles. If you like it, we'll probably do more of these mini episodes in future. But just before we jump into the discussion, let's cover quickly what's happened in the last couple of days. On Tuesday in Townsville, there was a joint press conference with the head of Adani Australia, Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk, Federal Resources Minister Matt Canavan, and the Mayor of Townsville, among others, where Premier Palaszczuk confirmed that Adani had given her an ironclad guarantee that the coal mine would not use 457 visas and a commitment that jobs from the Carmichael Coal Project are for Queenslanders. Adani confirmed that its regional headquarters would be in Townsville, and Federal Resources Minister Matt Canavan confirmed Adani had applied for a $1 billion loan for its rail line through the Northern Australia Infrastructure Facility. The minister described it as the, quote, biggest thing to happen to North Queensland since the Beatles came to Australia. Now, I'm not sure that the Beatles went to far north Queensland, but to be clear, the Australia Institute has done an enormous amount of work on this mine. Both Rod and Richard have appeared as expert witnesses in the court case. We've published numerous reports examining what really are the weak economic case for the massive coal mine. Basically, it's a dud. This week, our Executive Director Ben Oakwist described the prospect of taxpayers subsidising this mine as, quote, turning an environmental horror show into an economic nightmare. But let's jump into the discussion.
According to the media, this mine is going to deliver benefits that are described as limitless, beyond comprehension. The mine apparently will be a complete game changer for Queensland and, quote, could revitalise the Queensland and national economy.
Well,
I'd really emphasise the could revitalise. So, look, its proponents have talked up the size of, and scale of the project as if that means it will inevitably be a success. But building the world's largest video cassette recorder factory wouldn't really be a bonanza right now. Adani want to build the world's largest export coal mine about 350 kilometres inland from the Great Barrier Reef. The pits, the coal pits, will be 40 kilometres long. If you went to the tallest building in Australia and looked to the horizon, you wouldn't see as far as these pits will go. This is an enormous mine. Of course, the world is buying less and less coal. So some people think there's a tension between the idea that we should be building the world's largest export coal mine at precisely the time the world is moving away from coal.
So, Rod, 10,000 jobs is a figure that's thrown around a lot, but you've actually been in court around this case. What do they say in court?
In court, Adani's economists will swear on a Bible that the project will create 1,464 jobs on average through its lifetime.
What about all the indirect jobs, Rod?
Yeah, that actually includes that. All up, Adani say that the project will employ around 1,800 people actually digging holes. It'll create some downstream jobs in services and in construction, but it'll also destroy jobs in manufacturing, farming, and other coal mines. It'll take people away from those coal mines and push up prices for them.
They didn't mention that at the press conference.
No, strange that. It's become a bit of a zombie idea. The idea that Adani will employ 10,000 people. Premier Palaszczuk is out there saying it again, even though Adani themselves have contradicted this several times. I guess the big news is around the potential taxpayer loan to Adani. The idea that Australia's, what we call Northern Australian Infrastructure Facility, which the government has allocated $5 billion of your money to lending to projects to develop the north, a full 20% of that has been earmarked to go to this one project.
What impact will this have for Queensland and for the rest of Australia's coal industry? Is this the start of a new mining boom?
Whether we have a boom or not is actually determined by whether the rest of the world wants to buy more coal or not. So Australia's got a bigger share of the world traded coal market than Saudi Arabia has of the world oil market. We're big in coal.
Yeah.
Building a big new coal mine doesn't mean world demand for coal goes up. That's actually determined by whether the world wants more coal. So what's actually likely to happen here is we're about to flood a shrinking world market for coal with an enormous new supply of coal that will push down the price of coal. This is economics 101. And other coal mines elsewhere in Australia will lose market share and they'll get lower prices. So Adani's own modelling makes clear that other coal mines will produce less coal if this mine is built. So it's good for the Galilee Basin, it's bad for the Bowen Basin, it's bad for New South Wales, it's bad for the Hunter.
But let's not just take Richard's word for it or Adani's word for it. Let's take one of Australia's biggest coal producers, Glencore, at their word when last year Glencore said, and I quote, "Bringing on additional tonnes with the aid of taxpayer money would materially increase the risk to existing coal operations," Peter Freiberg, the head of the group's coal division, said.
Lefty.
We can see him here. Look at those dreadlocks. I would have thought the people most irate about this project would not be the environment movement, who have gotten a bit of long overdue media attention, but the people who should be most upset about this are workers in coal mines in places like Lithgow and Singleton and Maitland in New South Wales, because their jobs are directly being put at risk by this extra volume going into world markets and pushing down prices. And this project and this loan are hastening the end of your job.
And it also boasts that, quote, "everything will be autonomous from mine to port." What does that mean, autonomous from mine to port? What can we expect from that, Richard?
Well, it's quite explicit that we're looking at robot trucks, we're looking at driverless trains. These technologies already exist.
They're there in the Pilbara.
Yeah.
In iron ore mines in Western Australia are already largely controlled from Perth.
So while it didn't seem to be a feature in the press conference, elsewhere Adani have bragged about how high-tech this mine's going to be, how it's going to be autonomous from pit to port. Now, again, as Rod said before, under oath, Adani said it will only create 1,400 jobs. The modelling that was done for that was modelling done before people realised it was going to be entirely autonomous. So if anything, there's going to be less jobs than the 1,400 claimed in court.
Do you think this potential lending of $1 billion of taxpayers' money to Adani is a good idea?
Every time we put $1 billion into a project, we give up the opportunity to put $1 billion into something else. So of all the things the federal government could invest in, picking an enormous coal mine to sell more of a product that the world says it wants less of, produced by an industry that employs the fewest workers per dollar of activity of any industry in Australia. As to why they're doing it, I have no idea.
If you're actually serious about developing Northern Australia, then I think there's an awful lot of better ways to do it. You could get decent roads to communities. You could focus on community health and education. You could invest in industries that do actually employ a lot more people.
Like have a decent broadband network.
you could do all of those things. So if you're actually interested in improving the lives of people living in Northern Australia, no, this is a disaster.
And certainly, I guess, a terrible idea if you care anything about climate change.
Oh, did you? What? Going back to the hype that we heard about at the start with these limitless benefits and it's a game changer and it could reboot the entire nation. When hype like that is being said by political leaders and reported by the media, I think all of Australia is being let down here, and in particular, regional Queensland is being let down.
I agree, and let's put this into context. We've just gone through a mining boom, and there's 140,000 unemployed Queenslanders. There will still be an enormous amount of unemployed people in Queensland if the only strategy to create jobs for them is to build this mine.
And that's been our first Pocket Money edition of Follow the Money, brought to you by the Australia Institute. The Australia Institute published an open letter to Malcolm Turnbull as a full-page ad in Wednesday's edition of the Australian Financial Review. More than 600 Australian Institute supporters chipped in to make that happen, and close to 2,000 people have added their name to the open letter online. The open letter lists six questions that Malcolm Turnbull needs to answer before lending $1 billion of taxpayers' money to a completely foreign-owned mine. Thank you to everybody who has either signed the letter or chipped in to help us publish it. You can add your name to the open letter at nonewcoalmines.org.au. You can subscribe on iTunes or find previous episodes of Follow the Money at our website, tai.org.au/podcasts. And if you like Follow the Money, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps other people discover the podcast. The Australia Institute is on Twitter at the Oz Institute with an AUS. Thanks for listening.